Psalms 121, verse, we'll be reading verses 1 through 8 today. Praise the Lord. Psalms 121, we begin reading verse 1. Are you there? I'll give you another second then. Are you there? Okay. Is anybody out there? You look like you're there. Praise the Lord. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy helper, or thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. And then verse 122, chapter 122, verse 1 said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen. Father, this morning, just pray, Lord, that you would anoint these lips of clay. Help us, Lord, to rise above every adversity, to rise above everything that would try to prevent your word from being spoken today. Open the eyes of our heart. Help us, Lord, to have understanding and make application of all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know that God's house is a place for us to have intimate, joyful communion with the Lord. That last song that we sung, that just blessed me today, that all the songs normally do, but sometimes just more than others, and for whatever reason, maybe it's just something you needed, you know, this particular song will just bless you. And, you know, sometimes you can just sing, I Fly Away, and just want to start flying. You know, you just get, you know, just whatever it is, sometimes it's just a song blesses you. I think it's because at that place you have maybe laid aside some flesh, come into the presence of God and just said, Lord, I just need to let you know I love you. And then while you're letting him know that you love him, he then lets you know that he loves you. And so it's a sweet communion that we come sometimes, and we come into the house of the Lord, and we should especially experience it while we're at God's house, while we're in the presence of other believers, people who believe like you do and worship similar to you. We all worship a little bit different, although we have similarities. Some will raise their hands, some will cry out, some will just weep silently, some will just sit there and just make a joyful noise in their heart, never open their mouth at all. And everybody worships differently, but we are here today to worship him. And like I said, Psalms 122 verse 1 says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I think that's something that we all ought to look forward to, is going into the house of God whenever that appointed time is that we go there to worship, and we go there to have community, communication with other like believers. But more than anything, we come to lay aside all the heaviness of the past week, all the problems, all the stress, just lay it down and commune with the Lord for a little while. And kind of get to that place where you'll get to that place while you're here that you know that next week, although all that stuff might still be there, you can make it. You can go through another week. And so we're here today to the house of the Lord. This text that I read today is one of the, what they call the great Hallels, H-A-L-L-E-L, however you might say it. You can say that however you want to say it, because I don't know whether it's right or wrong. But it's one of these songs that they would sing, and it was a part of a group of songs that they would sing as they would ascend towards Jerusalem at three different times of the year. They would go there. They would journey there for these worship times, and this song was one of those songs that they would sing as they would make their way up to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or weeks of Pentecost harvest, and or an ingathering of the tabernacle and booths. They would go up for these particular times of sacrifice, and as they would go up, they would sing these songs, and they would talk about the goodness of God. And so it seems that these songs would begin to be sung when they first left their villages, and they would be sung in degrees as they approached Jerusalem. And this particular one here may have been sang just as they would top this certain spot, and they would see the mountains of Jerusalem, where Jerusalem sat just a little ways away, and they would say, they would lift their eyes and they would see Jerusalem, where the place of God, the place that they would meet God. Now they could meet God, we can meet God anywhere, can't we? We can approach the throne room of grace just any time we get ready. But they would sing this, and they would come, as they approached the city, they would see it. So we can assume that they saw Jerusalem, this Mount of God, just ahead. And Jerusalem was just in sight, maybe some distance away. But let's look at some spiritual nuggets from this scripture, this passage of scripture today, that might help you just a little bit in your spiritual journey towards Jerusalem. We're heading to heaven. Whether you believe that or not, or whether you, my goodness, I hope you believe that. I hope you accept that, that heaven is the ultimate goal of our life. My goal is not to get wealthy, although I'd like to have some money while I'm here. My goal is not to get all the new cars and have a garage, you know, build big garage to hold all these cars like some celebrities have. You know, one, Jay Leno, has all kinds of cars. That's his, and I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I wouldn't even begin to say, and, I'm not going to judge him in that area right now. I'm just talking, he's got a lot of cars. And might make you envious of the fact that he's got cars upon cars and all kinds of different things. But my goal is not to have a lot of cars, although I want a car. I want dependable transportation. I mean, if you'd want to walk up and give you your new car, Christina, and it would be paid for, I'd take it. I mean, I want a car. But I'm not going to go steal your car or envy you because you have a newer car than I have or anything like that. I want all of you to have good transportation. But that car in itself won't save you. It might keep you from getting wet if you're trying to travel somewhere and it rained. Keep you from having to walk there. That's good. It's all good to have that stuff. But that's not the ultimate, to have things here. My ultimate goal is to go to heaven. Someone said, I don't know what heaven's going to be like. It might just be, if you like gardening, then heaven may be a garden to you. I don't know. I may have a picket fence around my mansion. I don't have a clue. All I know, if Jesus is there and I'm there, it's going to be okay. My cousins say they don't want to go if there's not cows there. Well, my thought to that is this, I don't want to have to dodge cow patties. But if you like cows and that's heaven to you, maybe there'll be cows there. I really don't care. I just want to go to heaven. My goal, my ultimate goal, is to be in the presence of the Lord for eternity. And if I never receive anything other than getting to go there, that's okay. The Bible says we'll be given crowns of life and we'll be given rewards for being there. And then we'll take those rewards and cast them at His feet anyway. So my goal is to make heaven. But in that process, there's trouble. In that process, there's trials. In that process, there's tribulation. In that process, there's some times we have to suffer and go through things. But these guys weren't suffering today. They were heading to Jerusalem. We are too. New Jerusalem. We're heading there. But in this process, we need the assurance of God's protection and God's help to keep us from harm on our journey. We all face things, so don't think I'm thinking nobody will ever die, nobody ever be sick, nobody ever suffer any wrong while you're here. Wrong you will. You're going to face death, you're going to face trials, you're going to face tribulations, you're going to face temptations, you're going to maybe sometimes be in want, you're going to be in need, you're going to have problems, you're just going to have, it's life. But in life, God is there. And you can trust him. So, verse 1 and verse 2, it says this. I lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My helper. God is our helper or our aid. When it says there, it means our aid to help finish the journey. God is the one who will help you finish the journey. Now, it's good to have family. It's good to have friends. It's really good to have a job that pays you, because that's all helps on the journey. But ultimately, without God, you're without hope. And God is our help on the journey. The ultimate help for our journey is God. Well, Pastor, I think I can make it. You can't make it without God. Oh, you might make it. You might live life. You may do really well. But without God, it's all for nothing. It's all for nothing. What's the point in living if you don't have Christ? There's no point to it. Now, don't go out and say, Pastor said, since I'm not a Christian, I might as well just end it all. I'm not saying that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm not thinking that. Well, I must have thought it or I wouldn't have said it. But I'm trying to make you understand here. You need Jesus. And if you're a marginal Christian today, if there's such a thing, you need to change your attitude. It'll change your outlook. It'll change your attitude in this life. If you know your help comes from the Lord, that he's your helper, he's the one. These pilgrims were approaching Jerusalem and they see the city. I don't know about you, but I'm approaching heaven. I'm not there yet. But if I look through spiritual eyes, I can see the city. I'm close enough to that city to see the city. You need to understand what I'm trying to say to you right now. We are on a journey. We are ascending up to that mountain. We're heading towards heaven. And we're close enough to see the city. Now, I'm not close enough to visualize exactly what it looks like, but I have a picture of it in the Bible. And we've lived this life long enough to know that it's getting close. And we see the signs of the times and the situations around the world to let us know that the end is near, so we can see the city. We're approaching the city, and our help comes from the Lord. And as they approach that city, they begin to sing, I will lift mine eyes. I will lift mine eyes to the city from whence comes my help. I see the city. Where's Jesus located at? It's not a trick question. He's in heaven. He's at the Father's right hand. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am there you may be also. He's there preparing a place. He's there. And so we know our help. He's our intercessor. The Bible says, and I'll get to that later, but it says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. So he's there. We can see our help. If you'll just picture it through spiritual eyes, you'll understand your help comes from the hill from whence, and you can see it. You can see it spiritually. Why are you trying to do it on your own when you can see it spiritually? So this journey's been a long one for these pilgrims. And how many of you feel like this journey, is it ever going to end? Are we ever going to make it to heaven? Is this thing ever going to, is Jesus ever coming back? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The end is getting close. You might be weary. You might be tired, but keep looking toward the mountain from which comes your help. Keep looking to heaven, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Keep looking to him. They're not looking to creation. They're looking to the Creator. We need to stop looking for things to fix us and fix our needs and meet our needs and make us happy, and start looking to the. You want real joy? Look to Jesus. Look to him. You won't find it in this world. I can just almost guarantee you, any one of you, go out and buy your new pickup today. Well, you can't buy them on Sunday. Tomorrow, go buy your new pickup. The nicest one you want, or car, whatever it is you want, or new suit of clothes, or new house, whatever. Go buy the nicest one you want. I mean, the best you can afford. I mean, get leather. I mean, get sunroof. Get you know, everything you can get. In 30 days or less, the new will have begun to wear off, and you won't be near as excited about that new vehicle as you were 30 days before. It might be 45, because when that first payment rolls around. You won't be near as excited about any of that once you start paying for it. It won't bring you happiness. It'll bring you brief happiness, but it won't bring you real joy. This world doesn't hold it, folks. The best way to be happy, the best way to have real joy is to serve Christ, to serve Jesus Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way to be really happy. Preacher, I want some things down here. Well, go get them. Get all you can afford. Have all that God will bless you with. But don't get your eyes off of Him. It's not what you get here that counts. It's what you lay up in store over there. That's what matters. I want you to have a good life. My goodness, I want you to enjoy yourself. Go on vacation if you can. But don't grumble if you can't. Just keep serving God. Maybe eventually you can. What? Don't get envious because somebody else can take 3 a year and you don't get none. They did something to work to make, they did something right. They have rich parents or something. Psalms 124 verse 8 says, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and the earth. Our God created the heaven, our God created the earth, and He takes time to watch out over what He created and take care of those who'll trust Him and His Word. He'll take care of you if you'll trust Him. Care. I say care a lot. I think you spell care, K-I-R-E, but it means the same thing as care, C-A-R-E. He will take care of you. He really will. He'll watch over you because you trust Him. He'll not allow any enemy, nothing to destroy your fellowship with Him. Nothing can destroy your fellowship with Him. He won't allow it if you'll trust Him. Put your faith, put your hope in God. Hope in Him. Romans 8:28, we all know this scripture says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them, to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We understand that there's things we'll go through, but it will work out for a Christian. Now, if you're not really a Christian today, and you're really not trusting God today, maybe that scripture doesn't apply to you. More likely than not, it doesn't apply to you. This applies to born-again Christians, people who are trusting God to bring them out of affliction, trials, persecution, and suffering. But He brings that about by causing us to conform to His image. Because we trust Him, we put our faith in Him, we put our hope in Him. If you're not a really serving God today, stop trying to apply Scripture to your life. It doesn't work. Most of these scriptures are written to Christians. If you're not a Christian and you're trying to apply scripture, the one you need to do, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Start believing the scriptures about salvation. Acknowledge your sinfulness. And then get into full relationship with Christ if you're not a Christian today. Stop trying to take scripture that blows about blessings when you're not a Christian. It doesn't work that way. Confuse some of you. I mean, I can't call. You're not a part of the family of God. You're not a part of His. You're doing it your own way. You can't expect God to bless you when you're doing it your way. You got to line up with His Word. For all of you who don't like what I just said, we got baked potatoes after a while, okay? Just stick around. We'll eat. Folks, our ultimate source is Jesus Christ. Our ultimate source is God. It's not our family. It's not our friends. It's not our job. And God will take care of us. He'll meet our needs physically and spiritually if we'll trust Him. I'm an example of that. I'm 62 years old. I have no health issues. I look younger than my brothers. Well, how do you know that? Because I've been told that. Either they're lying to me. I bought it. If they're lying, I bought the lie. I tell you, hook, line, and sinker. But I see people that I went to school with who don't know Jesus Christ, have been drunkards, messing with drugs, living a riotous lifestyle, and they look like they're 80 years old. And I'm not being ugly. I mean, it's just like, wow. What happened? But God has been good to me. Now, some of y'all, now rest assured. Now, I'm going to qualify that statement with this. I looked in the mirror earlier today, and I told my wife, I said, man, I've changed a lot. I don't look like I did 25 years ago when we started this thing. She does, but I don't. But I'm well preserved for my age. God's been good to me. I have no health issues. My children are all in church. I don't have any sick grandchildren. My kids are well. God's been good. God's been good. We've been serving God a long time, and we've trusted God. We put our hope in God. All of our faith's been in God, and He has supplied all of our needs. He has took care of us. Several years ago, and Sister Pat, you'll probably remember this, but several years ago, when Denny bought him a pickup in 2005, 2006, Denny bought him a pickup. Well, I wanted a pickup like that one. I've been telling the church one of these days I'm going to get me a blue truck, extended cab, loaded out. I'm going to get me one. Well, at that time, I couldn't do it. I didn't have one. Denny went and bought one just like I wanted. Drove it to church one night on a youth ride. I said, Dad, come look what I bought. I went out there and looked at that truck, and I thought, this ain't right. 1 year later, then he signed the title of that truck over to his daddy. I had to pay for it. But I bought that same truck for my son, 20,000 miles on it. It was exactly what I'd asked God for, been desiring. God, and He said He'd give you the desires of your heart. I'm still driving that truck today. I'm wanting another one now, but I've been driving that since 2007. I put 135,000 miles on it, and that truck still runs like a top. God gave me what I desired. God takes care of His people. Now, I had to pay for it, but guess what? God provided a way for me. I paid for it in less than 2 years. I'd never done that before. That's the blessings of the Lord that make rich and add no sorrow to it. God is good. Just this past January, we paid our house off. We're debt free, basically. God has been good. But we had to put our hope and our trust in Him. It didn't come easy, but it came about. But it came through faith. Preacher, what are you trying to say? My help, my hope comes through God, not through stuff. But yet He gives us stuff to live life with. Amen? He does. Number two, y'all thought I was about through, didn't you? That's just my first point. Second point. God is our keeper in verse 3 and 4. It says, let me turn back over there. Verses 3 and 4, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Here it says He's our keeper or our shamar. And that word, it means to hedge about or protect, preserve, and observe. He hedges about us to protect us and observe us. What a God. Other day I was cutting some limbs around the house and up in the pasture, and there's these little thorn bushes that grow up around the trees and in your fence rows. And they got thorns about an inch and a half long on them. And then there's some wild rose bushes that'll grow in your fence rows, and they got thorns on them. And they prick you. They will draw blood. They hurt. But I was thinking about that when I was doing this right here, and I was thinking, man, that's like the hedge God puts around us to keep the enemy out. I mean, he builds up, and it's a thick head. So every time I would reach in there, even with my chainsaw, to try to get down to the base of that plant, that tree, that little bush, to cut it down, them thorns would attack me. And they'd draw blood. I'd come to the house bleeding. I didn't get no sympathy, but I came to the house bleeding, but I was thinking about that. That's like God, when the enemy tries to come in, he raises up a standard and he pricks him. He defends you. He keeps him out on your behalf. Can you believe that? God does that. He hedges about to protect you and preserve you. And he won't be moved. He doesn't waver. He doesn't slip. He doesn't shake. He doesn't fall. He doesn't slide. He's never off course. God does that for you and I. He loves you that much that he'll keep you. Psalms 37, verses 23 and 24 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in his way." Can you believe that? That he orders our steps. "And though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." God cares about you, church. That's what I'm trying to, he's our keeper. He orders your steps. One passage of scripture in Psalms says that his word is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Why is that? Because he orders your steps. He hedges about you, and then as you step, he keeps the hedge around you. The hedge moves with you. He's your helper. He's your preserver. He's your protector. He observes you. He watches over you. 1 Samuel 2:9 says, "He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness." God cares that much for his children, his people, those who are called by his name, the born again. He cares about us. And we're headed somewhere. We're going there. And God doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. When you lay down your head at night to go to bed, you don't have to worry that he's not like one of them guards on them old westerns I watch. And they put a guard out there, and the next thing you know, the guard's dozed off and the enemy comes in. He ain't like that. You can rest assured God doesn't sleep. He's watching over you when you sleep. He watches out for you. He cares about you. He's not going to let you down. Never ever. God doesn't slumber. He pays attention constantly. He sets his angels to guard you. He puts a hedge around about you. He cares about you constantly and carefully. Carefully watches out for you. You say, "Well, preacher, I've felt pretty bad lately, and there seems like things are going bad, and I just don't understand it all." Well, can you just take for a moment and imagine how bad it'd be if God wasn't with you. You mean it could be worse? Sure it would. If you call yourself by the name of the Lord, you're serving God, doing your best to serve God, you bet you could be worse. But I like it when people have the attitude, doesn't matter what the Lord, what would happen to me, whatever the devil brings my way, no matter what comes my way, I'm going to still serve God. I'm still going to trust God. If I get sick unto death, I still trust God. I'll die and go to heaven believing. Still believing in God. Still believing he's my help. Still believing he's my helper. Still believing he's my hedge, my protector. Because he's God and he cares. And I'll cast every care on him. Because I know he cares. You need to do that, church. He watches and protects us, though, from danger day and night. There's no telling. There's absolutely no telling how many times you've been in danger and you never knew it. About three or four years ago, we were coming back from Indiana. And Stephanie and Waylon, we'd went up there for a wedding, and they were following us. We were going to go down to Lambert's. We was coming back through that area. And so at Springfield, Missouri, we cut down south and go down to Lambert's. And they were going to go on down to Branson, stay a day or two. And we were coming home, but we went down there to eat. And we didn't even know it, but a car almost run over us. When we got to Lambert's restaurant, Stephanie and got out all excited. They had called us back and said, "Did y'all see that?" "See what?" "That car." "What car?" "The one that almost run over you." "When?" Just now, Dad. Just now, there was a car almost ran over y'all. And it was just like an angel of the Lord just took it and made it move. So we never saw it. Never saw it. Never know what happened. God protected us. The angels of the Lord just come and we moved the right direction, I guess, and they moved and they didn't hit us. That was God. Just about 10 years, 12 years ago, I had a real good a friend of ours. When they were coming up to that area, his wife, a car crossed over the center median and hit them. She died. It could happen. Remember that? But we were protected. Didn't even know it. So there's no telling how many times you're protected. You never knew it. But yet some little something happens. You go, "Well, where's God at in all this?" Right where he was, waiting for you to praise him in spite of it. Waiting for you to say, "I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help is in the Lord." Instead of saying, "Well, I can't believe it. Something else happened to me." Number three. God's our protector, or keeper. Verses 5 and 6 says, "The Lord is my keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night." Right hand represents human need. God takes care of your human need. Psalm 16:8 says, "I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand and I shall not be moved." God takes care of your need. I don't know what it is you need today. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know the struggles you have. You don't know all the struggles I have. We all have struggles. We all have things we deal with and things we have to just trust God for and things we have to repent of. And, you know, we just go through life, living life. And so we don't know, but we know this, that God will take care of our need. Whatever it is you're going through, God will take care of it. He takes care of it. He just does. And so we understand that the faithful child of God is under the watchful eye, protected and defended by God. And we read this on Wednesday night. We've read it for the last three or four Wednesday nights. We're going to read it again today, 1 Peter, first chapter, verses 3 through 5. I want to read that to you, because it may help you just a little bit. Those that have been here on Wednesday night said, "Oh no, not again." But it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." And so we see here that we are kept by the power of God. Some of you that haven't been here need to hear this. You are kept by the power of God. That is the believer's security. "Well, I don't know about that." Well, read what the Word says. You are kept by the power of God because you are a believer. So he's watching out for you. He's taking care of you. He's given us your security today. And these people that Peter was writing to were under intense persecution. They were experiencing persecution like you really wouldn't believe. Every evil force was coming against them, and they were wondering about what was going to happen. And Peter told them, "You are kept by the power of God." Hallelujah. That's just about shouting ground. Y'all don't know what you're going through today, but you are kept by the power of God. Because he watches over you. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's watching out for his own, his beloved. I don't care what it is. I don't care how intense it is. God is keeping you. He's watching out for you. But that requires faith. It requires your faith. And he has given to every man a measure of faith. We are kept, though, by the power of God through our faith in God. Put your faith in him, church. Believe that God's going to do it, and he will. And you're kept by the power of God. I love that scripture. That is a great place to be. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew, the 10th chapter, that the very heads of that very head, the very hair of their head were numbered. And he said, don't fear. Fear ye not, therefore, he goes on to say. I won't read it all, but he says, I've numbered the hair on your head. Now, why would he take time to do that if he didn't care? He did it because he cares. He cares about you. And he's going to protect you. You're kept by the power of God. There's no greater power. Nuclear power, whatever it is, there's no greater power than the power of God. Nothing. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. There's no greater power than God. Number four, he's our preserver. He is our preserver. Verse 7 and 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in for this time forth and for even forevermore. So this word preserver is again that same word shamar, which means thorn, hedge about with thorns. He's got you hedged about to observe and protect you. He is your preserver. And although it might seem that it would apply more to your temporary life at first glance, but it goes much deeper than just temporary. We all like to be protected now, but this protection is also to allow you to enable you to make heaven. God wants you to be as secure in the fact that you're going to make heaven. And so what does God do? He does everything in his power to preserve you so that you will make it. So if you don't make it and you want to backslide, you got to go through the hedge, so to speak. You got to fight your way out of God's protection. Serious. How many people you know have backslid when they get through backsliding and get away from God? They are bloody and they are bruised and they are messed up. Why is it? They fought their way out of God's protection. I know you've never heard it like that before, but it's really, in a sense, that's what you're doing when you run away from God. When it says God's your hedge and he's your protector and he's your preserver and he puts a hedge of thorns around you, if you walk away from that, you got to go through the protection. You got to say, God, I don't want nothing to do with you. Let me out. And God says, no, I'm your protector. I'm your hedge of protection. I'm not going to let you out. You're going to have to get out. I won't keep you here. I won't make you stay, but I'm not going to just make it easy for you to leave me either. Come on now. It's not easy to backslide. God puts up barriers. God deals with you by his spirit. He convicts you. He shows you the error. But he loves you right through it anyway. But all the time he's saying, don't quit. There's a stop sign here. Don't quit. There's a hedge here. Don't go through it. Because he loves you that much and wants you to go to heaven. Wants you to be with Christ for eternity. And we fight our way through. He is our preserver. Proverbs 2, verses 7 and 8. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield for those that walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Proverbs 3 and 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Wow. He's your preserver. And he gives you all the tools you need to be victorious. Every tool you need to shout hallelujah. To give testimony to the goodness of God. He does everything in his power other than force you to go to heaven. To keep you secure, keep you safe, and help you live victorious. So every bit of this can be applied to you in your as you journey from your spiritual birth until you leave this earth. Every bit of this. This is God who cares for you, who loves you so much. He will preserve you. He is your constant guard. God loves you that much. Picture it like this, if you would. A lot of people who have sheep or goats, they'll get a dog. I don't know the name. There's different types, but these what we call a sheepdog. And there's different versions of that, different names. If you put one of them, they'll put them out there as puppies with that sheep, that herd of sheep, that flock of sheep, herd of goats, whatever you call them, flock of sheep, herd of whatever you call them. And they'll raise that dog up out there with those sheep, and they won't let that dog have contact with humans, except for just its owner most of the time. They don't want really to have any contact with anybody. And that dog raises up a protector of those sheep. So if a coyote comes, anything, any predator shows up, that dog will protect those sheep. Some people get a donkey and put it out there with their cattle and their sheep and stuff, and that donkey's the same way. It'll stomp a predator to death. That dog will fight to its last breath to preserve, to keep those sheep safe. Does that give you a picture of our shepherd? He gave his last breath to preserve you, to save you, to give you hope. And he's going to protect you in the process. Right to the end. Right to the end. So ladies and gentlemen, we can be confident in God. He is our helper, our keeper, our protector, and our preserver. Until the end. Until the end. He'll watch over you. Let's serve him. Let's serve him. Would you stand?